Hey, this is Miss Melissa, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you are listening to Tales from the Tub. It's the Dog Days of Podcasting. It's Thursday, September 3rd, 2015, and I'm here with my good friend, KM. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm a writer and poet, and I'm currently trying to get myself together to get a homemade body product business kind of going on the side so I can make a little bit of money while I'm writing. I have a overabundance of hobbies, drawing, and I went to school for architecture, so that's what I have a degree in, but I don't work in it, so. So I craft, I draw, I knit, I crochet, I make almost everything you could think of.
Why body products? What drew you to this?
It was kind of a slow process. I started looking into the process of soap making, actually via getting into building a mod for Skyrim. And through that process, I discovered how much junk was in all the soaps that we were using and all the lotions and body products and everything. So I decided to start DIYing my own stuff so I could cut out all the extra garbage.
What's your favorite product that you've made so far?
Oh, good Lord. I don't know. I go through a lot of lip balm. It's so convenient to just, like, be able to make my own lip balm when I need some more. But I also, I really love, I have a Coco Shea body butter that has coconut oil in it, too. And that's, like, really, really nice, especially in the wintertime when it's, like, crazy dry. And the one I'm using right now currently has peppermint in it. So like the cocoa butter smells like chocolate. So it smells like peppermint patties when I put it.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's like smelling like a cookie. It's fantastic.
I would want to wear that all the time.
Oh yeah.
Okay. What's something that sets your soul on fire?
I have to say, well, there's like two things that really come to mind. The first one would be writing down like a dreamed up thought in like perfect detail so that when I can look back and read it and see all the images again. And that's just so completely thrilling. And the second would be researching and learning a new language. Specifically thinking back to learning about Tolkien's Elvish languages this winter. I started researching that, and that was like kind of really intense because there's such like a fandom around it that there's a lot of information, and it was finding all these different sources and getting all kinds of stuff and learning the nuances of languages like that and how they're put together differently. It's just, that's so fun to me.
Have you ever played with the Elvish songbook?
I haven't. I've heard about it, but I haven't messed around with it at all.
I used to have a copy, but I don't play piano, and it's written for piano, so it's useless to me.
Yeah. I don't have this instrument.
Let me tell you, playing the piano without a piano is difficult.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Just a little bit. What's a typical day like for you?
I usually wake up and roll over and watch YouTube to wake up in the morning. And then I just started within the last week doing Yoga with Adrian. Has a 30 days of yoga thing on her YouTube profile. So I started doing that. Which I'm absolutely loving. I'm surprised at like how much of the like more advanced positions I'm actually able to succeed at doing at this point. I was realizing that this morning. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm not in as bad a shape as I thought. And then I kind of like between like waking myself up in the morning, and then lunch, I'll either write or draw or work on whatever crafting project I have going on, depending on what my mood is. And after lunch, I go out and hang out with the dog, take him for a walk, and usually spend the rest of my afternoon either writing or reading, especially when it's nice out. Like in the summer, it's fantastic to be able to sit out on the porch with either my book or my notebook and either absorb somebody else's writing or make my own.
I have heard of these porch things that people have where they have temperate weather.
Yeah.
We don't do outside. We do everything in air conditioning.
Too hot. Go outside and melt, right?
It's not so much the heat. It's the 1,000% humidity married to the 97 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like
if it were one or the other, it wouldn't be bad.
It's like suffocating. Yeah.
It really is. It's like walking out into a wet sauna. You're like instantly soaking wet. You're never comfortable. And then everything inside is over air conditioned. So we're constantly having like upper respiratory infections.
Oh.
It's just really healthy.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned reading. So what's a book or movie or album or TV show or specific song that's particularly meaningful to you right now?
Right now? Oh, goodness. I'm totally hooked on Florence and the Machine's new album, How Big, How Blue, mm-hmm. How Beautiful. Oh, I've had, I woke up with Various Storms and Saints stuck in my head this morning, and now I have What Kind of Man stuck in my head this afternoon. So I'm just like drowning in it at this point.
I have to confess that I had not listened to a lot of Florence and the Machine until you told me about them.
Yeah.
And then this young man who I used to tutor in English when he was shorter than me, which is quite an achievement because I'm only 5 feet tall, also has been mentioning them. And I said, Ian, why didn't you tell me about this music? It's awesome. And he said, I just assumed you knew everything. Which is very sweet.
Yeah.
But a little frustrating.
Well,
so now I'm completely hooked on them as well. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's fabulous. I love her songwriting. It has so much depth to it.
She really is a storyteller.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that always appeals to me.
Her vocal range is gorgeous. Gush, gush. I have a lot of stuff that I've written from her. I get a lot of inspiration from like all of her albums. I haven't heard a bad album from her yet, which is really nice. Cause sometimes when you hear somebody's that first album and they're really good, when they come out with a second album, it's kind of like, well, I'm not really sure what to expect. So it's always nice when like each one keeps getting better. And she seems to be one of those. So.
Is there a person in your life who's been a particular influence on you?
Oh, that one's a toughie. I had to think about that one a lot. The person that comes to mind isn't actually somebody that I know. And I have to say, Till Lindemann of Rammstein, because his writing and his poetry, was what told me at a time when I was trying to make a transition that what I was writing, could be accepted and was something that I could move forward to and really embrace rather than having to kind of like fall back on something else. It was because I had figured out that this is what I really wanted to do. I wanted to write and I wanted to express myself this way because it felt good, but I wasn't sure that there was a venue for some of my material. And the fact that he manages to publish what he publishes and that he has such a big fan base is fantastic to me. It was very encouraging.
That's good. I think the beauty of the age that we live in is that there's a venue for pretty much everything. You just have to know how to find it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that I kind of still have a hard time wrapping my head around. Cause I'm one of these kids that grew up in the 90s before like the internet was such a massive thing. So I remember, you know, like we didn't have dial up until I was like 12. So like I grew up where it was like harder to get out into the world than it is now. So it's just starting to be something that I'm becoming more familiar with. So it's yeah, it's a learning experience still. And I'm sure it will continue to be.
And you're in that in-between age where you're not really a millennial, but you're not really the other generation either.
No.
Which is probably good, because I pity the millennial generation. They have so much coming at them all the time. I don't know that I could cope. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. I think math-wise, I sit, like, right in the middle of the millennials. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I think because of where I grew up, like, we live way out in the sticks, and so I grew up like with really simple stuff, and so I kind of have like my feet in both places, so to speak.
That's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just a thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, I know that. I look at it as a blessing, because I can see, you know, both sides of the conversation that's going on between, you know, two very, very different generations.
If you can solve one of the world's problems, big or small, including or not limited to the problem of conversing with millennials, what would it be?
Oh, world peace. It's been that since I was 7. I was like, I remember being in really early grade school, and I was like, I just want everyone to stop fighting. I want everyone to be nice and for everyone to get along. And that's probably why I absolutely love Star Trek. It's like, oh, look, the Earth figured it out. Now we have to figure it out with the aliens, but we can figure it out. I'd love to see that happen. It's so heartbreaking, and it's always been heartbreaking to, like, I grew up with all this, you know, all the media coverage of the Middle East, and the same stuff is still going on, and it's horrible. I would love to get rid of that.
I think those of us who are a little bit older than you who came up before there was as much media exposure, it was always there, but we didn't know about it. And I think sometimes that ignorance is what kept us innocent, but it's made it harder for us to help.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you could have dinner with just one historical figure, celebrity, or fictional character, who would you choose?
Andrew Robinson. It'd have to be Andrew Robinson. I would absolutely love to talk to him about his book, A Stitch in Time, and talk to him about his role as Garrick and his viewpoint on the character, because it seems to be unique amongst the actors somewhat, and certainly amongst other people I've heard interviews from that worked on Star Trek. Like, he's very, very in tuned with his character, and he always has these wonderful insights that are so poignant, and that's part of the reason why I really, really loved his book. I read it like twice back to back, because I got the Kindle edition, and then I ordered a hard copy and promptly read the hard copy as soon as it showed up at my house. And it's like every time I read it, I found something new in the book, and I'm impressed that this man, he says he's not a writer, and I'm like, well, you are a better writer than a lot of people that call themselves writers, so you're doing a really good job.
Do you prefer paper books to Kindle?
I do. I'm so visually sensitive, like the little things, like the font being different on my phone, if I like switch between books, drives me insane. So having those inconsistencies, I can't stand it. I have to go to the paper books. And I like, there's something about having the real book in your hand and being able to like see your progress through it incrementally, like, feels really good and fulfilling to me.
I like that. I know we already asked for music and things that are particularly meaningful, but what are you reading right now?
I'm currently reading Ash by Melinda Lowe, and it is a retelling of Cinderella with a lot of fairies, and it's written by a woman in the LGBT community, and I'm really, really loving it. Her style is amazing, and she puts in, it's gotten into these really subtle romantic aspects as Ash has gotten older in the story, and mm-hmm. She's working everything in really, really smoothly and naturally, and her use of language is really nice, which is something I always look for. when I'm looking for an author that I like, is that they use language effectively.
Everybody has challenging days. When you have one, or you're in a really bad mood, what do you do to shake yourself out of it?
Veg out in front of whatever show I'm currently hooked on. Or, you know, find something fun or inspiring on YouTube to watch, or I'll draw or work on a project, like a knitting or a crocheting project, something that's really kind of meditative so that I can focus on that. This morning I was feeling out of whack because it's been such a crazy week, and I went and sat down for an hour and, like, wrote out stickers to put on lip balms to sell to people, and it's amazing how much those kinds of little meditative things can calm you down when you're really feeling lousy.
Is there a piece of wisdom or advice that you've either given or received that you think should be shared?
Probably that being in a relationship will not necessarily make you happy or even less lonely. That you have to be happy and content with yourself first, and then everything else will come after that. I've had so many friends that have thought otherwise, and it's heartbreaking to see them struggle with two things at once and feel like they need somebody else to give them something that's just, it's not going to happen.
It is pretty heartbreaking. I always am worried when I have, especially women friends, but guys too, who have to define themselves by their relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not a whole person without that, you'll never be a whole person with it.
Exactly. And it's something that I've had to deal with in my, you know, my relationships, because I'm someone who struggles with anxiety and depression, and it actually can be harder sometimes when you're with someone and they don't quite get what's going on. Like, that can even make it, like, feel worse to be dealing with this lonely place when the person that you're, like, should be comforting you isn't helping. So it's hard to tell friends sometimes that, you know, the thing that you think is going to help really, really is not going to help. So, yeah.
Right. Last question, and then I get to the personal stuff. Is there any charity or cause you feel really strongly about?
There's a lot of stuff. It's mostly social justice and, like, environmental issues, like, you know, environmental protection, the sustainability, if my mouth would work. Women's rights, like, all the stuff with all the, like, reproductive rights debates drives me nuts. Sex ed, education, LGBT rights, and definitely depression and anxiety, mental health awareness stuff. I try to be pretty, I've gotten more vocal on, like, YouTube about stuff, with various people that I follow. I try to be pretty vocal in the comments and give feedback to them and thank them for talking about issues that are important and should be important and need to be out on the airwaves and talked about so that they can be dealt with in, you know, the grounded world rather than just out on the internet.
That's good. And finally, is there any place where we can find you on the net or in media?
I have my Twitter page, which is @tap, all in caps, O_O. And on both fanfiction.net and DeviantArt, my screen name is Cora M852. I have writing on both DeviantArt and fanfiction.net.
I want to ask you one thing about your handle on Twitter.
Yes.
Because it stands for something that we've talked about, and I would like you to talk about that for a minute.
Okay. It stands for The Art Project, and the whole concept came about actually because of like a short fiction thing that Brent Spiner did back in 2009. And I read through it and I had this idea that I could just use Twitter just for original writing purposes and just have it be for an art thing and not necessarily use it for what everybody else was using it for, but use it as a creative outlet instead. And at this point, I can be a little bit sporadic on when I'm posting, but I find it's a really good tool for kind of getting myself out of a funk in my writing, like killing writer's block. It's good for killing writer's block because I can just go and spit whatever random stuff is coming out of my brain onto Twitter and, do little micro poems or little short stories. It's fun. I'm glad that it's worked out because I wasn't really sure how it was going to pan out when I started, and it's worked out to be really a lot of fun to go back to every once in a while.
Have you been getting any response, or do you even care?
I don't really care. I'm always excited when I get new followers because then it's like, oh, somebody read my stuff and they liked it. Provided it doesn't look like they're just like fishing for followers themselves. I've had a few of those where it's like I didn't follow them back quick enough and they're just like, oh, I guess I'll delete you. That was a crazy thing to start like learning about, was like, how do I use Twitter? Like, how do I navigate this thing? Because it's so different from my first media experience. Like, that was like MySpace and
it's very different.
Facebook, which is completely different from things like Twitter and Instagram. Learning experience. But I just want to share what's in my head with other people. So I just hope that people can find me and enjoy what I'm posting.
The Bathtub Mermaid is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartell and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Music for this episode was provided by Mevio's Music Alley, a great resource for PodSafe music. Visit them at music.mevio.com. The opening song is Soap in a Bathtub by Stony. The closing song is You Can Use My Bathtub by Little Tom. The Bathtub Mermaid is produced and recorded using Boss Jock and Audacity. You can contact me by leaving a comment at the website, www.bathtubmermaid.com, by finding me on Twitter, at Melisse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or by sending an email to Melisse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, at starfleet.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.
Still it shows, but you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub. Yes,